Quitting smoking can be hard, but there's an unbeatable way of quitting from Nicotine. Use a Nicotine Clear Patch for all-day craving control. And for unexpected cravings, use a Nicotine Minis Lozenge for fast relief. An unbeatable way of quitting from Nicotine. And now selected Nicotine products are on offer at Sainsbury's. Subject to availability, selected stores only. Offer ends 1st of November. Significant improvement in quit rates versus patch alone. Nicotine contains nicotine. Requires willpower. Always read the label.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Post. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Anthony Mangione. Ant, how are you?
Doing good, Russ. Finally, World Cup has come to an end, and now we begin to prepare for the march to the NHL season. Exciting time.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for both things to happen, even though I didn't mind the World Cup. And for listeners, Michael Jello will come on midway in the show. But, yeah, I'm happy it's over. Let's, while we have a minute for our guest, before our guest Chuck Gormley comes on, let's chat about a new feature on the show via Twitter.
Yeah, one of the things we're doing now is one of the things I want to do is we we're going to be obviously opening things up now. We normally it's just the three of us on the show or with a guest, but we do obviously want to make sure to have even with our limited time to have some audience participation. So we are going to be opening things up to questions on Twitter, and I got a couple already that we will certainly be addressing, and in the second half of the show, maybe towards the end. Maybe this week probably a little too soon of a, quick of a rollout, but hopefully by next week we'll get a few more questions going. But definitely something that we want to encourage our audience to do, and I'll of course fire those things out on the morning of the show.
Sounds good. While we're waiting on Chuck, I'm going to play an interview with Pavel Zacha from the NHLPA Rookie Showcase via Upper Deck. Pretty funny. Take a listen.
All right.
Talking to Pavel Zacha, NHLPA Rookie Showcase. So how does it feel out there to get back on the ice?
You know, it's nice, to see all the guys who you're drafted with and the guys you play against and juniors and stuff. It's really nice to be with them here, spend a day, get to talk to them, be on the ice, get some photo shoots. So it's a really good day for us, and I really like it.
You had a really good year last year. You got a taste of the NHL. You're probably real excited for this season to start. How have you stayed in New Jersey, or are you going to get there at some point?
I'm actually going there today, so I'm leaving today to go to Jersey to get ready because rookie camp starts in 2 weeks, so they wanted me to be earlier and get used to the ice, be with my teammates a little bit, and just practice on the ice and do workouts with strength coaches already have there. So I'm leaving there today. I'm staying there till the rookie camp.
So how excited were you when they made the Taylor Hall trade? That's other potential offense that could he could be a line mate in the future.
It was great. When I heard the news, Larson was really a great defenseman, but for our offensive situation right now, when you need to score a lot of goals, Taylor Hall is a great fit, I think, for us, and I hope it'll help us, to get to the playoffs because he's a really good player, and I hope he'll like it in Jersey.
Have you found the food to be good in New Jersey, like pizza or anything like that?
We're going well to Chipotle, so I like that place. So we spend a lot of dinners and stuff there. So yeah, I like it.
But the Chipotle is everywhere. Don't you try new places?
But I was in Canada last year, so it wasn't there. So I really like it. So we're going there a lot with I have Czech teammate there, Mozik too, with me. So we're going for steaks and stuff, but Chipotle the most.
What about the humidity? Can you deal with the humidity of the East Coast?
I actually came from Czech and it was pretty cold, so I was wearing hoodie and pants, and came out and it was 98 degrees humid, so I was sweating 2 seconds, so it was pretty crazy. But then I went to New York City, it was the same, just to walk around. So yeah, it's not bad. We're there just for winter usually, so but spending there summer, it must be really hard.
Thanks. Good luck to you this year.
Appreciate it.
Right, as that interview ends, another one's going to begin. We're going to welcome in Chuck Gormley, who works for the NHL Network. He's an NHL insider and regular contributor to ESPN and the Sports Exchange, and somebody Anthony and I know very well and admire. Chuck, how are you?
We do.
Great. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. All right. So I guess the last take on the World Cup, were you a fan? Did you like the way it ended? Could it have been shorter? What do you think?
I liked it. I liked the way it ended. I actually would have preferred a third game. I think, everyone loves the drama, and that thing ended
sure.
in dramatic fashion. So I think it was good. I liked that idea. I liked Team Europe. I thought Team Europe would get rolled over. I mean, I didn't think they had any chance of winning a game, let alone getting to the final. So I've heard a lot of conjecture that they should break up Team America, Team North America, that they shouldn't be invited back for the next World Cup and to break up Team Europe. But I don't think you can. I don't think after seeing what Team Europe did that you can say, oh, let's just change the format and let's not have that anymore. I think it's a great idea, and I like a lot about it. I think you could probably cut a few games out of the preliminary round. I think maybe one or two games is plenty, because these guys are in pretty good shape. But I liked it. I liked the tournament. And to me, the bigger question is, does the NHL participate in the Olympics next time around? I mean, I don't think they do.
Yeah, I'm in certainly agreement with that. Yeah. Ant, what do you think?
Yeah. One of the things I was going to – I mean, that's going to be really interesting, because I think this is sort of, again, as Chuck would kind of intimate here, is that it's kind of – this is kind of a trial balloon to see the NHL sort of launch their own international tournament in this case as a means of being involved in, you know, the international arena. Chuck, the main thing I wanted to ask you with regards to the structure of the tournament is that, you know, we get through the first round and then automatically we're into a final four almost immediately. Did you feel, I mean, based on what you said earlier, it sounds like if you're going to cut down the preliminary games, are we looking at maybe having a play-in game in the elimination round? Is that something that you would suggest for the next tournament?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think, you know, look at Team North America. They lost one game and they're out. I don't know if that's good. I mean, they were 2-1. I think you almost have to lose two games to be out of any tournament. So I didn't like that. I didn't like the way that was set up. And, you know, just having two sides like that, I don't know. There's probably not an easier way to do it. But I just felt like Team North America never got a chance to face Team Canada. And I think that would have been a fun matchup to watch.
Yeah, I think we all would have been happy with that. Chuck, let me ask you, switching over to the Caps for a minute, what I thought was one of their issues, not that they had a lot of issues last year until really the playoffs, was that fourth line role. They gave it to Mike Richards, but now you got Brett Connolly there. Does that make the fourth line better, you think? Do you think that maybe helps a little bit via matchups and other things? That, to me, that was a little bit, maybe one of their only weaknesses was that fourth line.
Yeah, I think that was a weakness. I think I think Jay Beagle is a really good fourth line centerman, and I like the way they're set up with Lars Eller at third line center. And I think you're going to see Kuznetsov maybe on the top line and having Backstrom on the second line. So down the middle, they're fine. But I think you're right. They needed to get stronger on that fourth line. I'm not 100% certain they did, but there's still a kid that I like, this kid, Zach Sanford. He was drafted about 3 years ago. He's about 6'3", 6'4", and you're starting to see him grow into his body. I mean, I remember covering the Flyers and seeing guys like Michael Renberg, and it took like 2 or 3 years before he was completely matured into that body that he had. And I think Zach Sanford is another one of those guys. And I'd like to see him make the roster. I've seen it before where guys are 21 and they're ready. And to me, he looks ready. Now, that would be their fourth line left wing if that's where he ended up. I'm not sure if they're going to go that route or they're going to, you know, have him play with Hershey. I'm not sure what their plan is with him, but I could see him doing that. I mean, Connolly still has lots to prove, in my opinion.
Chuck, speaking of other acquisitions that the Capitals have made, of course, they made the trade for Lars Eller from Montreal, and then they decided not to re-sign Jason Chimura. Now, of course, Chimura had a very good season, 20-goal season, and now he landed a two-year deal with the Islanders. But in terms of what, in your mind, how do you see Eller grafting onto the Caps lineup? What are his attributes that you feel will work particularly well with the way Barry Trotz wants to roll out his players?
Well, I think, you know, the thing with Eller is that he was always miscast, in my opinion. You know, he's really not a top six guy. I mean, he was always placed in a top six role, and I'm not sure that was ideal for him. And a lot of that has to do with the talent around him. You know, I think in Washington, there's just a little more, well, there's a lot more talent. And I think he finally come to grasp with the fact that he doesn't need to be or have to be a top six guy. And I think sometimes guys need to reach that point in their career where they're comfortable being a third-line center. You know, Jay Beagle is one of those strange players whose life mission is to be a third-line center. You know, those guys are usually not happy being in that role, but
right.
I think Lars Eller is, and I think Jay Beagle is, too. I mean, if Jay Beagle is your fourth-line center, I like that. So I think that they made the move that they had to make. I think that Jason Chimera will do well with the Islanders. He's got a lot of speed, a lot of tenacity. He's a real big personality, too. And I think the Islanders need someone like him. And I think it was one of those things where, you know, when push came to shove, the Capitals just didn't have the money to re-sign a guy like Jason Chimera, just like they couldn't re-sign Joel Ward and Troy Brouwer last summer.
No, that's fair. Chuck, I saw you at the center the other night, and we were watching Roman Lyubimov, or Lyubimov, sorry. I try and make sure
Lubimov,
I say it right, because otherwise
Lubimov. I'm going to help you out.
Lubimov.
I'm
okay,
the one with the Russian spouse here. Lubimov, there you go.
Thank you. And I want to know what you thought of him, Chuck. I thought, you know, he looks like a good fourth-line candidate and actually maybe can do a few things that Vandevelde can't do. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's got some skill that is hard to find. I mean, that was the first time I had seen him. So I saw a lot of flashes. And, you know, I'll be honest, I've seen a lot of players with a lot of flashes, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
they pan out and sometimes they don't. I'm not sure what their long-term plan is for him, but I thought he looked good. I thought he looked good in that game. It was hard to tell against an Islanders team that had, I think, just five NHL players. So
yeah.
The Flyers obviously dominated that game. And I don't know. It's hard to tell in the preseason because there are so many guys that are not NHL players. It's hard to get a good read. Even when a guy has a good game, you're not sure whether he can do it against NHL players because there weren't many on the ice.
And, of course, Chuck, that builds into my next question, which is in regards to Travis Konechny, obviously one of the Flyers' top forward prospects there, had a very average first game in the split squads and then had an eye-opening game against the Devils up in Allentown. You kind of have to take the same tact, I would think, as well with Konechny and sort of seeing what we're going to see out of him going forward. Do you see him getting into the regular season and getting into potentially that 9-game window look-see, or do you think it's more likely that he'll be back in Sarnia before the season starts?
You know, that's a good question. I think they're going to give him that window. I mean, I would. I think Ron Hextall is a little hesitant to promote guys who aren't ready. I think he would like to take the approach that the Detroit Red Wings have used very successfully, and that's to overbake these guys, whether it's in the AHL or whether it's in the minors. And
yep.
in his case, you know, I've seen it work. Usually it's the first round pick, maybe the top 15 that you see come out in the first year or second year. And it's usually the second round guys who need another year of junior or 2 years of junior to make it in the NHL. So it's a risky proposition because you don't want to burn that NHL 3-year entry contract. And, you know, you need to know that guy is going to play a lot of games. And to me, a lot of games means 60 games. If you have a guy who's 19 who can play 60 games, then you made the right choice. but if you have a guy who's going to be sitting on the bench and or not, you know, see, to me, a fourth line role is not really ideal for a 19-year-old. You want those guys playing big minutes.
Right.
And I don't know. I think that's the question that the Flyers have to answer. And I wouldn't mind seeing him, and maybe Heck feel the same way. Let him play a few NHL games and see if he's got the chops. And if, you know, a lot of that could depend on how Dave Hextall uses him too. If he's going to be on the fourth line.
I think we may have lost Chuck.
Yeah. Give him a second.
I think we lost him there.
Yeah, because I think the line was kind of going in and out a little bit there.
Yep.
There we
All
go.
Right, well.
So, no, there we go. Chuck's back. I think we got him.
Chuck?
Yep.
You want to finish that thought?
There we go.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you see those players, it's not an easy decision, because if he doesn't play 60 games or more, you wonder if you're making the right choice. Because, you know, if those guys are kind of sitting there and not playing a lot of games, they're wasting valuable time that they should be playing and should be learning the game. So I think if you're not playing in a top six role and you're a young player, then you should probably be playing with your junior team.
Nope, that's fair. Chuck, we really appreciate you coming on. Again, everybody should check him out on Twitter. Check him out on the NHL Network, ESPN, Sports Exchange, At the Rink. He's a really approachable guy, and when I first started out, he was probably the nicest guy to me in the area and probably could say the same thing. And so we appreciate you coming on, Chuck.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thanks, Chuck.
My pleasure.
No, go ahead. Tell him, man.
My pleasure, guys.
Yeah, no, I would say Chuck was actually, when I first started writing back in, I was going to say probably when I started doing Flyers in 2000, 2001 after with the Phantoms, Chuck was one of the first people to really sort of to talk to me amongst the beat writers. They sort of talk, find out who I was, that kind of thing. And it was just, you know, always appreciated him, you know, reaching out like that. So, Chuck, thanks so much. I do appreciate that.
Hey, I appreciate you guys even mentioning that. To me, it's just, if you love the game, then you love the people who cover the game.
That's a great way to think about it. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, guys.
All right. So we go from the very happy Chuck Gormley to the, I think, happy Mike Augello. Mike, how are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Yes, I'm rather enthused after watching a massacre at, well, I don't know how many times they can rename this building. It was the Marine Midland Arena. Then it was the Hot Sauce and Blue Cheese Arena. Then it was the First Niagara Center. Now it's the KeyBank Center. And it's always been like the house of horrors for the Maple Leafs. Since 2010, they've gone 1-13-1 in the regular season. And this is a preseason game. And, you know, it was mostly the Rochester Amherst versus the Toronto Marlies. But Toronto won 8-1. So it was a rather pleasurable evening for those who drove down the QEW to watch the game.
No Austin Matthews, though?
No Austin Matthews. Yeah, the Leafs have decided, along with, well, the Sabres didn't play Eichel, they didn't play Ryan O'Reilly. Most of the teams that have had players returning from the World Cup have been giving them 3 or 4 days off. I mean, the Leafs haven't played any of their World Cup players, except for Jonas Enroth, who played the first half of the game tonight, but he didn't play at all for Sweden, so that really doesn't count. There's pretty much, it sounds like some of them will get into action for Toronto on Sunday when they play at the ACC against Montreal. I think, you know, that's the first preseason game they're playing in at home, so I think it would be a good time to debut Austin Matthews for the home crowd.
So, Mike, in terms of what you saw tonight, what were some of the things that really sort of leaped? I mean, beyond obviously the final score, which obviously makes your head, you know, the eyes pop out of your skull, but what's the specific moments of the game where you were just looking at it, where you were going, wow, that's a nice development?
I mean, I was trying to focus on, you know, some of the, I mean, the Leafs played both Nylander and Marner, both had good games. I mean, the thing is, there was not one player for the Leafs who had a bad game. I mean, when 15 different players score a point and the team wins 8-1, you're sort of nitpicking if you say, well, this guy didn't do this right. I mean, the Sabres, you know, did not put together a great lineup at home. I'm sure some of the Sabre fans were a little miffed that, you know, the goaltending was you know, Jason Kasdorf and John Muse. And John Muse I've never heard of before and probably never will hear from him again. The one thing that maybe, and I didn't hear the post-game commentary of Dan Bylsma, but late in the third period, Colin Greening ran Dmitry Kulikov into the boards right near the Sabres bench, and he fell awkwardly and was writhing in pain, like right at where the door opened, and went to the locker room and never came back. And, you know, we know how I think weak the Sabres blue line is. They need Kulikov, and I know Kulikov is in the last year of his contract, you know, will be a UFA at the end of this season. You know, they need him to be a contributor along with Ristolainen. And with Ristolainen still holding out, I mean, if they lose Kulikov for any period of time, their blue line is in trouble.
I realize
yeah,
Kulikov is going into a UFA year. But how old is he? He's what, 20? What's his age, Mike?
26.
Yeah, he's right in that window. That sounds about right, yeah. Interesting, because he came in pretty early in the league. I remember he came in, like, did he even play any? He was, I think he was NHL right from almost from the jump. He was one of the draft year kid.
Yeah, I think he played as an 18 or 19 year old. He played
yep.
early.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens with that. All right, Ant, do you want to go with a question or two from Twitter, and then we'll get to some other housekeeping?
Yeah, one of the questions that let me just get bring the up. The question I received from Twitter, let me make sure to give the guy a shout out here because I got to bring it up on the screen. Just 1 second. The person who asked the question, his name. Give me a second. I'll roll it up here.
The Red Sox won, Mike, so you could be very happy about it.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a case of Schadenfreude here. Yeah, there you go. Continue.
Okay, so a question that I did receive is Flyers related question from Justin Cackett at Justin Cackett 7. He was asking, should Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek be on the same line or split up to balance scoring? Now
I'll let you take that.
I'll take that. At this point now, it's very much circumstantial. I think at the beginning the Flyers should definitely keep them separate because I think they're both. They can be certainly separate threats. The big thing, again, that you have to see here is early on, if you are going to keep them separate, is Voracek able to generate on his line with Sean Couturier the way he was, obviously, with Claude Giroux. But I think you definitely want to give it a shot here early on to see if he can get himself out of the funk that he had last season. So in my mind, yes, I think they should start off with them split up. But if things go along where they're both struggling, then, yeah, I would certainly consider putting them back together. I do like the line that Giroux has with Simmons and Shen on the left. I know some people may think, you know, there's obviously a divergent opinion on whether or not Braden Shen should be a center permanently or on the wing. I think we're all pretty much established the fact at this point that Braden Shen is much more the player on the wing, and you play him at center when it's necessary if you have injuries in your lineup. So that's my view. So thanks to Justin for that question.
Are we doing another one, or is that it for this week?
Other than that one about Peter, another question I have about Peter Straka is going to clear and go down to the Phantoms. And I think it's safe to say yes, he'll go down. That was from Sith Lord Shizzle.
All right, we'll leave that one there. So here's the next question for the round table here. Andrew Shaw gets suspended for 3 preseason games. Mike, is that a deterrent or a benefit for him?
I think he should celebrate. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm sure he doesn't want to play preseason games, and it doesn't cost him a penny because the money starts rolling in with regular season games. So, when I heard that, I'm like, okay, that's not any kind of deterrence whatsoever. He should have at least been suspended for 1 regular season game, so there would have been some sort of financial consideration there. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Michel Therrien was not going to play Shaw every one of the, you know, whatever, 6 or 7 remaining exhibition games, so they just sent him out 3 in a row. This isn't a penalty at all. I think that's pretty weak.
Ant, what do you think?
Yeah, for me, I mean, obviously, when we look at the sequence of the fight that he had after the hit, and he's like, you know, just, you know, just going full on, you know, crazy with his arms waving in the air. It's almost like, come on, suspend me, get me out of this game. It seemed that way after the suspension hit. Just like, it just struck me that way when I saw the video clip of him in that fight with Hobbs. So, yeah, I mean, Shaw could just sit back, you know, go in and have a shower beer for, you know,
yep.
After that. That's the only way we can describe it. It's like, come on.
No, it makes
it's
sense.
It's not at all. It's not at all a penalty for him. Although, again, it does. No. The one thing you will turn around and say is it does potentially put him on the radar for stuff during the season now. So now he's sort of in. He now will be in player safety sites if anything further comes along that line. So there, we can't completely joke about it in terms.
So he's
of,
on double secret probation. Got it.
He's on what we call double secret probation. Yeah, let's call it that.
Well, that's the only penalty is that would be considered a repeat offender if something happens, and we know the type of game that he plays. He's gonna get in trouble again. I mean, if you look at it, I honestly think Montreal is gonna be a bunch of loose cannons. Andrew Shaw, Radulov is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Brendan Gallagher is a professional disturber of the highest order. They're going to be an interesting team to watch.
It will be interesting. There's no question about it. All right, next question. Yeah. PTO for Christian Ehrhoff. I'll go to Ant first. Boston Bruins, desperate or good move?
Sometimes desperate moves can turn out good. I don't have any particular issue with Boston reaching out to Ehrhoff in this case. That also says, you know, whether or not that's a case of training camp competition to push some players forward. But I think at this point in the game, if you're bringing Ehrhoff in with his experience and his prior experience, I'd almost think based on, especially, again, their blue line depth has gotten pretty much on the thin side at this point beyond Chara and Krug. And you continue to go through Quaid, and you sort of go through. And Krug again is out for, you know, as stated. I'm talking about, you know, just in terms of long term. It's just that's again Ehrhoff. I think in that case, and maybe looking at Ehrhoff as a guy who could potentially compensate for a little bit of Krug's, you know, with Krug's absence. But you know, Boston is where they're at. They just don't have the whiff of a playoff team to me, even with the changeover bringing him back. I don't think he's getting any younger, as we all know.
No.
And there's something about the Bruins that just doesn't quite have the smell of a playoff team. I think, you know, and that's – it is desperate, and, you know, we'll see if it works out for them.
Mike?
Unless the Fountain of Youth is located in Mississauga,
mm-hmm.
and Christian Ehrhoff found it, I think this is – you know, I'd be surprised if he gets signed because he showed nothing with – Los Angeles and with Chicago last year. I mean, if he barely got in the lineup.
He was the glue for Team Europe, Mike.
Ah, yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah, that's great. But you know, and then Seidenberg got signed by the Islanders, and he's getting the PTO. I mean, if there was no question about his abilities and his ability to contribute, they would have given him a 1-year contract. It's a PTO. So I think they're still reserving judgment of whether he can actually do something for them. I'm surprised that they're not going with some of their younger, you know, they have a few young defensemen who could be contributors, could be ready, but I guess they feel it's a safer, you know, safer thing to maybe give him a 1-year deal, and then if, you know, a guy like Carlo is ready midway through the year, they could bring him up. But I don't know. I'm skeptical that he's going to do anything for them.
Okay, I'm the same way. I would rather run with Rob O'Gara. Last moment, does anybody have any thoughts when Chris Russell will get back in the NHL? You could just blurt them out. Doesn't matter.
Thank you first.
I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked that he hasn't been signed. I mean, at least a 1-year deal. I mean, unless he's still holding out for that Cody Franzen 2-year deal somewhere, I'm surprised. You know, we saw Kyle Quincy sign with New Jersey, and he's pretty much a limited bottom pairing guy. You know, Seidenberg is on his last legs. You know, Ehrhoff.
All right, you're cut off. Ant gets the last word. There you go.
All right. Russell, I'm anticipating is going to be getting a couple. I think he'll get a couple-year deal with Calgary. That's what I think is going to happen here in the end.
That's interesting. I think that sort of makes sense, too. I mean, we'll see. It's been a wild ride for him. I'm sure it's not fun. And I have to say, I probably talked about more about Chris Russell than a lot of other players in the NHL. Soon he will overtake Jimmy Vesey talk. So that's, you know, that's another
impossible
matter in and of itself.
No way.
And, guys, thanks for coming on. Thanks to Chuck Gormley. That's going to end this Off the Post. And we'll catch everybody next time.
Take care, everybody.
Quitting smoking can be hard, but there's an unbeatable way of quitting from Nicotine. Use a Nicotine clear patch for all-day craving control. And for unexpected cravings, use a Nicotine Minis lozenge for fast relief. An unbeatable way of quitting from Nicotine. And now selected Nicotine products are on offer at Sainsbury's. Subject to availability, selected stores only. Offer ends 1st of November. Significant improvement in quit rates versus patch alone. Nicotine contains nicotine. Requires willpower. Always read the label.